Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, Dan Novak brings us a report on why the baobab tree is found in Africa, Madagascar, and Australia. Then, John Russell tells us about a new device that creates water from moisture in the air. After that, Anna Mateo and I have the higher education report. And then Anna stays with us for this week's Words in Their Stories. Now, here's Dan Novak.
The baobab tree is a special thing to see. During the dry season, its leafless branches look like roots coming from a thick trunk. It appears as if someone took a tree from the ground, flipped it on its head, and put it back into the earth. That is why the tree is sometimes called the upside-down tree. Baobab trees grow in Madagascar, mainland Africa, and Australia. The origins and history of the baobab have been something of a mystery. But a new study that looked at all 8 recognized species helps tell the baobab's story. The baobab originated in Madagascar about 21 million years ago. It reached the African continent and Australia sometime in the past 12 million years, researchers found. Madagascar, an island off Africa's southeastern coast, has a large ecosystem. It is home to many kinds of plants. 2 baobab lineages went extinct in Madagascar, but the lineages established themselves elsewhere, one in mainland Africa and one in Australia, the study showed. It appears that baobab seed pods floated from Madagascar to mainland Africa, located about 400 kilometers to the west. The seeds also traveled to Australia, nearly 7,000 kilometers to the east. The plants almost certainly got to Africa and Australia, floating on or with vegetation rafts, said plant expert Tao Wan of the Wuhan Botanical Garden in China. He is one of the writers of the study, which appeared recently in the publication Nature. Wan added that the seeds were able to travel to Australia because of the Indian Ocean gyre, an oceanic current. Baobab trees provide food, shelter, and nesting places for wildlife, including bees, birds, and various mammals. Their fruits also provide important nutrients and medicines for people. Baobab leaves can be eaten, too. The trees produce large, sweet-smelling flowers. Their sugary nectar appeals to nighttime pollinators like fruit bats and hawk moths. Their flowers also attract 2 kinds of primates, lemurs in Madagascar and bush babies in Africa. Ilya Leach is a plant geneticist at the Royal Botanic Gardens, Kew, in London. He is also a study co-writer. He said baobabs can grow to be very large and live for thousands of years. Their very large root systems play an important ecological role, helping to slow down soil erosion and enabling nutrient recycling, he said. Baobabs are a water source for local people during the dry season. But Africa's baobabs are at risk from elephant damage. The animals sometimes cut the tree trunks with their tusks to get water. I'm Dan Novak.
Researchers in Australia recently announced the launch of a new device that, they say, absorbs water from air to produce drinkable water. Researchers at the University of Newcastle call the device the Hydro Harvester. They said it can produce up to 1,000 liters of drinkable water a day, adding that it could be life-saving during drought or emergencies. The Australian team said that, unlike other atmospheric water generators, their invention works by heating air instead of cooling it. The device absorbs water from the atmosphere. Solar energy or heat from other industrial processes can be used to produce hot, wet air. After heating, the air cools, producing water for drinking or watering crops. Bedad Mogtadiri of the University of Newcastle's Center for Innovative Energy Technologies told VOA how the technology operates. Hydro Harvester uses an absorbing material to absorb and dissolve moisture from air. So we use renewable energy, Mogtadiri said. He added, when you condense water contained in that air, you would have the drinking water at your disposal. The researchers say the device can produce enough drinking water each day for a small rural town of up to 400 people. It could also help farmers keep livestock alive during droughts. Mogtadiri said the technology could be used in parts of the world where water is limited. Researchers thought their device would be useful because Australia's climate is dry. More than 2 billion people around the world, they are in a similar situation where they do not have access to high-quality water and they deal with water scarcity, Mogtadiri said. Studies of the technology will be done in several Australian communities this year. The World Economic Forum, or WEF, a non-profit group based in Switzerland, says water scarcity continues to be a problem worldwide. The WEF said getting water from the atmosphere is a promising emergency solution that can immediately generate drinkable water using moisture in the air. However, the group warns that the technology is costly. It estimates that one mid-sized device could cost between $30,000 and $50,000. I'm John Russell.
Across the United States, students are now looking to community colleges for training in jobs related to climate change solutions. These include wind and solar energy, electrification, and protecting water and farmland. For example, on the south side of Chicago, Illinois, students learn how to work on an electric vehicle, or EV, in a new technician program at Olive Harvey College. About 240 kilometers south, students at Danville Area Community College learn how to fix large wind turbines. In Albuquerque, students learn how to work on solar panels at Central New Mexico Community College. In Boston, Massachusetts, students at Roxbury Community College's Center for Smart Building Technology learn how to strengthen buildings against extreme temperatures. They also learn how to build structures that contribute less to climate change. Kyle Johnson is a 34-year-old student at Olive Harvey College in Illinois. Johnson has long enjoyed working on gasoline-fueled cars, but automobiles are increasingly electric. When it came to EVs, I knew that the times are changing, and I didn't want to get left behind, he said. Climate change has a lot to do with my decision, he added.
The job market already has been changing. Businesses and jobs that address climate change are growing. And now legislation like the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act is adding more investment, which will most likely mean more jobs. Millions of clean energy workers are needed to meet targets set by governments and companies to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. Many of these job opportunities are growing faster than overall employment in the U.S. Brian Lavelle of Roxbury Community College has seen that firsthand. While the students are still in the program, they get employed because the demands of industry are so acute, he said, of the students in Roxbury, Massachusetts. Traditionally, people going into these industries gained skills through local employers and labor organizations. But now, community colleges can help. They listen to companies and state officials and create hands-on training for open jobs. Kate Kinder is executive director of the National Council for Workforce Education. She said over half of these jobs require less than a 4-year college degree and more than a high school education. That's prime community college space, she said of the 2-year associate program.
These job openings draw in students like Tanner Poliard. Poliard had thought he would become an automotive technician. However, after learning about openings in the wind power industry, he enrolled in Danville's wind energy technician classes. He said it really opens the door for people out here for jobs. At the same time, community colleges have been losing students, not unlike the rest of higher education. Currently, more people are entering the workforce straight out of high school. And some community colleges have not recovered from the decrease in enrollment that happened during the pandemic. Some schools say investing in these programs is a balancing act between staying up to date and risking a bet on developing technology. We feel the pressure, said Monica Brummer. She is director of the Pacific Northwest Center of Excellence for Clean Energy at Centralia College in Washington. If we create curriculum today for, say, a hydrogen technician, it may not be the curriculum we need in 2 or 3 years, because the technology is changing so fast. Some schools hope to make the change without new and costly investments. For example, Minnesota's Inverhills Community College launched a climate change program in 2022 using existing areas of study at the school. Now administrators are considering expanding that program. As well, Cape Cod Community College recently changed from specialized workforce training to a wider sustainable energy study program.
Other community colleges help prepare students like Sarah Solis for a four-year degree program related to climate change. Solis was enrolled at West Los Angeles College, a community college near the Inglewood oil field. The oil field is what led her to environmental studies. She later changed to the school's climate change degree, which was new at the time. Its climate change program has grown since then. It is now home to the California Center for Climate Change Education. Then Solis went to the University of California, Davis, and earned a degree in environmental science and management. She teaches city farms how to deal with a warming future, and she credits her success to her community college experience. Solis called her experience at the community college life-changing. She added, "I would not be an environmental scientist right now if I hadn't gone to West." Many other students said the same thing. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Ana Mateo. And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Every day, we do countless things with our hands. So, it's not surprising that we have many hand expressions that describe how we do something. These hand expressions could be called handy, meaning they are useful. When we do something with our bare hands, we do it on our own, usually with much effort. When we use this expression, we are expressing pride in something we have done. For example, let's say I decided to build my own gardening shed, a small outdoor building for gardening supplies. It was hard work and took me days to finish. But at the end of the project, I could proudly say that I built it with my own bare hands. Feeling proud and finishing a big project go hand in hand. They go together. Let's say you are asked to lead a project. You want it to be successful. You want it to be on time and on budget. So you lead with a firm hand. If you lead with a firm hand, you are strict. You follow all the rules closely. You don't let jokes or laziness affect your team's progress. Teachers can teach with a firm hand, and parents can parent with a firm hand too. Having a firm hand and being strict go hand in hand. A firm hand is not the same as a heavy hand. If a person or organization has a heavy hand, they use a lot of force or power to control people and events. A heavy hand is often considered a bad thing. When you deal with a situation with a heavy hand, you could be seen as oppressive. Someone who is heavy-handed is severe or harsh when dealing with others or when dealing with a situation. Sometimes we call this an iron hand or even an iron fist. A fist is a closed hand that is used for hitting. Now, what kind of person has a high hand? Someone who has a high hand is domineering. They like to be in control. They are bossy. Sometimes we use the adjective high-handed. High-handed people do not consider the rights, concerns, thoughts, or feelings of others. They look down on people. In other words, they are arrogant and condescending. Hand expressions can also describe our involvement in a situation. Let's look at a couple examples. A friend of yours asks you to find a manager for her company, but you don't know anyone who fits the job description. So you don't suggest anyone. You don't have a hand in the selection. If you have a hand in something, you have helped to make it happen. Your friend was able to find someone for the job through another person, someone you know. Let's call him Bob. You know Bob, and you don't trust Bob. So you warn your friend, but they don't take the warning seriously. In the end, Bob is a terrible choice. He steals a lot of money from your friend's company. Your friend is furious, and you feel bad. But in this matter, your hands are clean. You did nothing wrong. In fact, you tried to warn your friend. We use this expression to state innocence in a bad situation. Here's another example. Let's say you are babysitting some children. They want to make a cake, and they make a total mess in the kitchen. Flour, sugar, and broken eggs are everywhere. When their parents come home and see the mess, you can say you did not have a hand in it. The kids did it all. All you did was turn on the oven. Maybe these kids do this every time you watch them. You are tired of it, even though they do make tasty cake. So you throw your hands up. When you throw your hands up, you are tired of fighting something. It is a sign that you give up. A good word that describes this feeling is exasperation. People who are exasperated are tired of something, and they often throw their hands in the air. And that's the end of this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. Anna is here now to talk with us about all of this week's handy phrases. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been enjoying thinking of all the hand-related phrases, and this week you brought a number of them to our listeners. Let me give you a hand for that.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Absolutely. Well, there are so many, Dan. And there's another expression that I actually didn't put in the story, which is something you just did, to give someone a hand. We call that applause. It is a signal of appreciation, but you can also give someone a hand, meaning you are going to help them.
Clapping and giving applause, like you would do at the end of a concert, is something you can do with your hands. You can do it with your bare hands. And that's another expression that you talked about this week, is doing something with your bare hands. What is something you did recently with your own bare hands?
I have to be honest, I am not the most handy person. I am not very crafty. I don't often build things. But for video shoots, I often make my own props using things I find around the house and cardboard. I am very handy making things with my bare hands with cardboard. What about you, Dan? Is there something that you recently did with your bare hands?
So we've been telling our listeners about all of the things that I've been up to that have been associated with my wife and I moving into a new home. And there are lots of projects going on. Actually, one thing I'm doing with my bare hands all the time is cutting down cardboard boxes for recycling. But that's not something that elicits a lot of pride and a lot of satisfaction. But every 2 weeks when the recycling truck comes, I feel kind of accomplished because the recycling bin is very, very full of cardboard boxes.
You can still feel pride about that, Dan.
But the thing I was thinking about, actually, when we were discussing what have I done lately with my bare hands, we have a large TV that we put in a big box for our cross-country move, and we want to put it on one of the walls in our home. And the previous homeowners had put some wall mounting brackets for TVs. And when they moved out, they left them behind, which we were happy about. But they were for older TVs, and newer TVs have a different location for some of their fasteners. And I was able to buy a kit and watch some videos on YouTube. And eventually, with my own bare hands, I was able to, well, a little bit of help from my wife too. She gave me a hand. She lent me a hand. We were able to get it set up. And
well, good for you guys. I'm sure you both felt proud to do it with your bare hands.
But I was wondering, what are some other hand expressions that you enjoy?
Well, I will mention this one. I like the expression to clean your hands of something. It means to be done with something or to distance yourself from something. For example, let's say I worked for a politician, but then he got caught up in a scandal. I could say, I've cleaned my hands of him. I am done with him. I want nothing more to do with him. I am not associated with him anymore. I think that that is a great idiom. It means a type of innocence. I'm innocent of what he was guilty of doing.
I think we've seen that kind of thing happen, perhaps when a political candidate starts a campaign and then chooses a different strategy or a different direction. And then you might see the former campaign manager interviewed about the current direction of the campaign. And they'll say, I've washed my hands of that. You know, I'm no longer responsible for whatever the candidate just said.
You are saying, I am innocent. I had nothing to do with this, whatever the problem is.
We all have those moments, like you sort of say, my work here is done. maybe that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I've done all the damage I can do here, so I better extricate myself from the situation.
Yeah, and sometimes we even do that with our hands. We, if listeners can hear it, I am kind of clapping my hands. I'm like washing my hands of someone. You just said it very well, Dan.
Yeah. No, we all know that that hand gesture pretty well, I think, around the world, to pantomime cleaning your hands. So
hard to see on a podcast, but hopefully our listeners understand.
Hard to see on an audio podcast, but I think people can use their imagination. Well, Anna, I think we have to wrap this up. I think, you know, wrapping up is something that you can do with your hands, like if you're wrapping a package, but that's a way to say it in the audio production world and the video production world. I think we're going to wrap up this conversation, but I want to thank you for having a hand in the production of the podcast this week. Thanks, Anna. Thanks for all your handiwork.
You are so good at working in those idioms and expressions, Dan. You are welcome, and thanks for having me. I'm glad to have had a hand in the production of your show.
Thanks, Anna. That's all the time we have for today's Learning English podcast. Thanks to all our VOA colleagues for their help on the program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.